God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine, recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend MacMillan, Minister Raleigh, my lovely wife, and my beautiful church family, the part that is here, recognizing the part that's missing as well. It's an honor, a privilege, and as always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to profess the Word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for someone needs a word. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for your servant will not know what to say or how to say it until you come. Speak, Lord. Make plain your word. Consider those who you've sent here today, Lord. The ones that you sent here because you promised that you would have a word for them, Lord. Speak, Lord, that they may hear your voice. We call on you this morning, Lord, because we need to hear from you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Speak, Lord.
Speak.
Use me as the vessel, Lord, but move me way, way, way behind your cross, Lord, that no one can see me, but when I open my mouth, they will see thee. Speak, Lord. We call on you. We count on you. Take control right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You had the scripture read for you this morning, coming from Mark, the 9th chapter, and we read for your hearing verses 9, 23 through 29. I want to read for you, coming out of the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. And I'm going to just read a couple of verses from that particular book, Acts 27, 33. It reads thusly, "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." With that, I want to use, as we continue in the same overall topic of considering a boundless God. Considering a boundless God, and we want to use as a principal theme this morning a question: do you have that kind of power? Of that question, do you have that kind of power? See, all of the scriptures from the previous 2 weeks and today, and principally all of the Bible pretty much, talk about a boundless God. A boundless God. One that's not bound by time, space, or matter. A creator God, one who spoke the world into existence. He said it and it was. Mm-hmm. A boundless God, a God that's omnipotent, a God that's all powerful.
Yes.
A God that knows everything, a God that knows the very thoughts that you are currently thinking, a God that knows all about you, a God that knows what it is that you need and what it is that you perceive that you need, a omnipotent and omniscient God, and a God that's everywhere. No matter what you do or where you go, He's there, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. Boundless, able to do all things, able to do anything if you can only believe. A boundless God, no restrictions. Unstoppable in what he wants to do, a boundless God who chose to come into this world, the world that he created by speaking it into existence. He chose to come into this world in human form.
Oh, yes.
Just to make it possible that we could see and commune with himself. He wants us to be able to speak to God. He sent his only begotten son that he removed the veil of the temple to say that you can go directly and commune with God. He made it possible. An omnipotent God stooping so low as to say, I want to make it possible that you can speak to me.
Yes, yes.
What a God. We serve a boundless God, one who you can access, who can do anything, that can make anything possible, even those things that you can't see as humanly being possible. If you can only believe, you can commune with a boundless God. Hallelujah. Two weeks ago, we asked the question, what's in your cup? And last week, we discussed the topic that the secret to contentment. And this week we're asking the question, do you have that kind of power? If you allow me just to digress for a moment, see if I can explain that kind of power. You see, when you listen to the scripture, or go back and reread what was read this morning, coming from Mark chapter 9, 23 through 29, what you find there is Jesus is, first of all, he's teaching a father about faith. And at the same time, he's teaching his disciples, and that would be all of us. And he's teaching his disciples about power. you know something about when mm-hmm. when faith meets power. Mm-hmm. You got something going on when faith meets power. In that scripture that was read, the 23rd verse says, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, mm-hmm. all things are possible to him that mm-hmm. believeth. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Sometimes we have trouble getting to that. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, I'm trying, but I can't get there. And help thou my unbelief. And then that scripture goes on and says, when Jesus saw the people that came together, and he rebuked the foul spirit that was in the little boy that they were dealing with. The disciples had been dealing with him, and he called the dumb spirit out of him. And when he got alone with his disciples again, and they haven't failed. So when they came to him, and he was in the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them that this kind. Come on now.
This kind
can mm-hmm. come forth by nothing but prayer and fast. And listen to me now. This kind, he's talking about power. He's talking about something that's accessible to all of us. He said, but this kind of power that can call dumb spirits and demonic spirits out of this kind of power that can overcome any kind of adversity, this kind of power that can get you through those things that you can't get out of yourself, this kind. You got power like that?
Jesus.
Do you have that kind of power that you can speak to your problems? And you see what the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, that you see, the more critical a situation gets, the more appropriate that you need to go to him in prayer and in fasting. Uh-huh. And seeking to be alone with God, trying to get into complete oneness with he who has all power. If you can just get in communion with him through prayer and fasting.
Jesus.
In this scripture, Jesus cast the demon from the boy, and his disciples were unable to perform the same exorcism, mm-hmm. although they had been given authority over unclean spirits.
Yes.
Look at Mark 6 and 7. They had been given the authority. Mm-hmm. But when the disciples asked Jesus why they failed, he told them, this kind can come only out by prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. So in the scripture read this morning, that the demon was exceptionally malicious.
All right.
So Jesus was saying to them that, and to us, that the tougher the opposition, the tougher your problems are, the bigger they are, the more you're going to need faith. The more you're going to have to strengthen your belief. The more you need to get in contact with he who has all power through prayer, which is a ready weapon. The Bible tells us that prayer is our sword.
And
that's how we fight the spiritual battle. And fasting is, I call it the thrust. You got your offensive weapon, which is your sword, but you're facing your problems, and the way you get thrust, the way you get power to push your sword is through fasting.
Yes.
Getting alone with God. And you can read your Bible, and you should read your Bible, but you need to get alone with God before you read your Bible. Sometimes you need to get alone with God and spend some quality time with Him so that He can commune and communicate with you. You can't do God's will if you don't know God's will. What I intend, that's me, what I intend to do this morning is a quick review, and then we're going to wrap up this whole series on the boundless God that we serve. As I said earlier, 2 weeks ago, we spoke what's in your cup, and of course we established that what's in your cup is whatever you believe is in your cup. What do you need? If you need healing, can you believe that it's in your cup? If you got family problems, you may have a child that's going in an errant way and you need to get back in contact with them. You may have a spouse that's going a different way. You could have any problem. But if you can believe, then you can receive. If you can only believe, then everything is possible. Communion is our chance to get to know God better. It's when God makes Himself available to us. It's when we respond to Him with anticipation and thanksgiving and joy. In other words, when I spent some quality time with Him and I began to pray, and I began to listen to God, and I began to anticipate God moving, so much so that I start to thank God before I get up. I thank Him for what He's already done, because it's already done if I can believe.
Amen.
Then last week, we spoke about the secret to contentment. Focusing on a boundless God. Contentment. It's an inner sense of rest or peace that comes from being rightly related to and in constant communion with God, and knowing that He is in control of all that happens to us. The secret for contentment in every situation is to focus on the Lord as sovereign, as Savior, and as the sufficient one. He is the sovereign one. He's the one that we must submit to. He is the Savior who we must serve.
Yes.
And He is the sufficient one who we can and must trust. If we could know Him like Paul knew Him. And
yes.
Paul said, I know how to be content. He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Some of y'all know that. Some of y'all have been through the same ups and downs. When you didn't have anything, God was there.
Oh, yes.
When when you get a little something, God is there.
He's still there.
You get a whole lot of something, God is there. If you can just realize that God has always been there and he's always been able to meet your needs. So Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, yes, whether I'm full or hungry, whether I got a lot or whether I need.
Yes.
I can do all things, Jesus, through him who, mm-hmm, strengthens me.
Yes, sir.
And this week, we want to look at what might be the most effective means, mm-hmm, of focusing on God. That's fasting. Do you have that kind of power? In his book, author and teacher Derek Prince, he describes fasting as a tremendous lesson. And listen to me, or listen to him. A tremendous lesson in establishing who is the master and who is the servant. Remember, your body is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. I'm going to repeat that because somebody might have missed it. I almost missed it the first time I read it. Your body is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. And according to Galatians 5:17, the flesh or the carnal nature always strives to be in control. I want what I want when I want it.
Yes, sir.
See, we get tangled up sometime, and he goes on, he says, but our spiritual power does not lie in money,
all right,
or genius, how smart we are, or our plans, or all of our hard work. How I get where I am now? I worked hard.
Well.
But our spiritual power rather lies, it comes from the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm, as we seek God's face, mm-hmm, in prayer and in fasting. Y'all hear me? Mm-hmm. Well, when we seek God's face in prayer and in fasting, that's where, when you spend some quality time with God all by yourself. I know some of you got medical issues. I got medical issues myself, but you figure out a way that you can give up something and so that you can spend some time with, yes, Almighty God. If you got to take your blood pressure, take your pills. And if you got to take them with a little something, eat a little something, but give up something so that you can spend, yes, some time, some quality time with God, yes, so that you can hear from him. Do you have that kind of power? See, Paul, in our scripture this morning, Paul was on a ship. Paul was a prisoner. They were,
oh yes,
taking all of the prisoners, and they were on this ship, and they had them all tied up until they ran into some trouble on the water. And mm-hmm, Paul, being a man of God, Paul started praying and Paul started fasting, and according to my Bible, he got the others to start praying and fasting as well. And when he was praying and fasting, he heard from God.
All right then.
And when we pick up the scripture, it says, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take some meat. Mm-hmm. He said to them, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. And watch what he says. He said, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you.
Yes.
They were out on turbulent waters. The ship was being tossed and turned. They didn't know what they were going to do. The God said to his first impulse was to kill the prisoners.
Yes.
But Paul said, I've already prayed and I've already been fasting and I've gotten a word from the Lord, and the Lord has told me that nothing's going to happen to you. He said, see, it's something when faith meets power. Paul said, don't you worry about it now, because my Lord has given me an answer, because I listened and I heard from the Lord. When faith meets power, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried. That's an important word. Eh? Mm-hmm. Yes. 14th day where you have tarried.
Yes.
See, if you look up the definition of tarried, it says to linger in expectation. I'm spending some time with the Lord. I'm fasting. I'm expecting. I'm anticipating God doing something. And then it says to abide or stay in one place. To abide or stay in one place reminds me of John 15:5. Says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do all things. It's something when faith meets power. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any one of you. See, when you get alone with the Lord, whatever problems you might be having, whatever you might be facing, if you can just get alone with the Lord, and if you can just hear it when the Lord says to you, I've got this all in control. Mm-hmm. If you can hear it, and after you hear it, if you can believe that God's got it in control, if you can find yourself at a place of peace when you can be content that God's got it, God knows everything about me, God knows everything that I'm going through, if I can just believe that God has it all in control.
Oh yes.
When faith meets power. Mm-hmm. See, some of us think we got power, but you don't have any real power. This stuff down here on earth, that's not power. All power belongs to God. He's got all power in his hand. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. And when your faith meets power,
come on then.
Something is going on then. Fast. See, when you fast, it allows us to do three things. When you fast, it allows you time to realize that you're powerless. You don't believe it? You try. Try fasting from anything.
All right.
You speak it. say, name your own poison. If you, and I'm talking about what I know.
Yes.
If you just say as simple as, I'm going to fast from coffee this morning. It'd be like me, the coffee don't even taste right no more, but as soon as you say you're going to fast from it.
All right.
Well,
man, I'd give anything for a cup, just a simple coffee. Cokes, but just fast from something. The kids, fast from your games for 4 hours. And I'm not going to touch a device for 4 hours and see what happens when you just try to get away from it. Let me just go and spend some time alone with the Lord and myself. Mm-hmm. 2 hours.
2 hours.
Go for 4 hours the next time. But when you fast, it allows you to see how powerless you are. And when you fast, the second thing, you realize that you need to be prayerful. You realize that prayer is an effective weapon, because when you're going through and you want something like that cup of coffee, start praying.
Yes.
Every time you feel the pull of the world on you, start praying. And when you start praying, God will strengthen you, and you can start get the value of prayer, and you can start to hear from God, and you realize that me and God are the only ones in this little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Don't run around and tell everybody that you're fasting, because that's all about a show, but don't tell everybody what you're doing.
Yes.
Suffer to yourself.
Yes, yeah. Oh God.
Realize that prayer can get me through this thing. Every time I start to get weak, I can pray.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing that allows you to realize is that you get to know the Lord better. As you spend time with Him alone, you get to know Him. Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him.
Yes.
And the power of His resurrection, and that I may share His sufferings and becoming like Him in His death. If I can just get to Him, that I can feel His power.
Yes, sir.
This kind of power can only come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. You can fast for any number of reasons. You may want to be more sensitive to the calling of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what my call is. I don't know what I ought to be doing. I need to get alone with the Lord so He can direct me.
Mm-hmm.
And some say, I don't want to hear all of that. The Lord didn't command me to fast. And it's true. He didn't command you. It's not a commandment, but it's a strong suggestion. You see, and I'm about done here. I promised I would say that this morning, didn't I? That's right. So, when in Matthew 6:16, the scripture says, when you fast. That sounds like a strong suggestion. It didn't say if you fast. It says when you fast.
Uh-huh.
Do not look sober or somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting.
Yes.
But truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full.
Yes.
But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. get some of that ash off you.
Yes.
Look good anyway.
All right.
So that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. But only your Father in heaven will know.
Yes.
And your Father, who sees what is being done in secret, will reward you openly.
Yes.
It's a lot that we can gain from fasting. Do you have that kind of power? Songwriter says, I got it. It's Holy Ghost power. Do you have it? Do you have Holy Ghost power? Or are you letting all of your problems and you thought you were in control, but then the world hits you with a big one. And when the world hits you with a big one, it knocks you down and you're having trouble getting back up. You don't have the power to get up. You're getting tired. You can't keep going on. You don't know which way to turn. Are you getting tired and don't know which way to go? Do you have power to speak to your problems?
All right, then.
Do you believe that God has the power, that he can give you the power? Do you believe that God has it, or are you faking yourself out? Do you believe that God has all power in his hand, and all I got to do is believe, get myself out of the way, and stop trying to figure out how to do this, and realize that God's got it all in control? Do you have that kind of power? Holy Ghost
power.
I got it. Holy Ghost power.
Yes, sir.
Do you want it?
Holy Ghost
power. Holy Ghost power. And she goes on to say, I need it.
Holy Ghost power.
When you get down and the world starts pushing, you know, I know you do, because I know I do myself. When you get pushed up against a wall and you just don't know how you're gonna come out, even when you get down and pray, you're not convincing yourself in your prayer because you don't have any power. You get up and your same problem is there.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Go back to the altar.
Yes.
Go back to your praying closet. Go back and fast again.
Yes.
Go back and get alone with the Lord and get down on your knees and stay there.
Stay there.
Until you hear from the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Do you have that kind of power? Don't tell me hotel now. When you leave here today,
yes, sir, God,
and go back into the world, the world where you left all of those problems, are you gonna go back and as you approach it? Some of us gonna leave this room just like you do on vacation. And as you leave this room and you start going back closer and closer to those problems that you face, your faith gets weaker and weaker and weaker. By the time you get back to the problem, you're right back where you started. But God said, I got the power.
Mm-hmm.
If you can
believe.
When faith meets power. When faith meets power.
All right.
A boundless God. Do you have that kind of power? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
We thank you, Lord, for access to the power, Lord.
Yes, God.
We thank you, Lord, for the access to faith.
Yes.
And we pray right now, Lord, when we try to believe, Lord. And Lord, he says, the Father said, I believe, but help thou my unbelief, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
Get me out of my own way, Lord.
Yes, sir, God.
And let me know that you've got all power in your hand. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you right now, Lord, and we just pray right now for an increase in our faith. A decrease in all doubt.
Oh, yes, sir, God.
An increase, Lord, in faith and a decrease in doubt. That we can call on you and anticipate you coming. Not just with lip service, Lord God, but lay and wait where we can tarry.
Yes.
Stay right there in the same place and tarry and until you come or until you speak direction into our lives, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for being there. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who you sent, Lord God, that we can communicate with you to show us the way. Oh, Lord, we thank you.
Thank you, Father.
It's in Jesus' name that we do pray.
Amen.